Muy buenos días, amados hermanos y amigos presentes. Es realmente una bendición y privilegio grande que el Señor.
Good morning, beloved brethren and friends present. It's truly a great blessing and a privilege that the Lord grants us on this beautiful morning to be gathered in this place. And we have glorified Him, we have exalted His name, and now we prepare ourselves to receive His word. Greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin there in Monterrey, where he is at, and also to everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 and other means of communication. Today, Sunday, April 27th of this year, 2025, our subject is Words of Greetings to the Ministers, preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago, there in Jalapa, Veracruz, Mexico. And let us read in the Sacred Scriptures, in the Book of Revelation, in chapter 14, verse 1 and on. And also, chapter 7. Let's first read chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. It says, "After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four wings of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Aser were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. On the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. There he writes on the side Joseph, and he also writes Ephraim. In this chapter 7, from 4 to 8, he numbers each name of each tribe, from 1 to 12. Let us now turn to chapter 14 of this book of Revelation. Here we already see them on Mount Zion. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with woman. There he writes denominations. For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And he drew a star of David to the right. You may please be seated. This takes place before the Great Tribulation begins. The sealing of these 144,000, which we see in the Book of the Seals. Now, before that happens, a very important work is being carried out on earth under the Messianic ministry, ministry that will be fulfilled in the third pool, as is called by the Reverend William Branham, which is the ministry of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. And just like in the third pool, in the first coming of the Lord, there was a Levitical breakdown. In his second coming is a breakdown in the ministry in which the work of the Lamb is finished and the work of the Lion begins. That work that he came carrying out 2,000 years ago is broken. Throughout those 2,000 years, that ministry as Lamb is left finished and the ministry of Lion begins. Just like in the third pool of Jesus, ended that part of the goats, which represented, typified, the perfect Lamb, which was fulfilled in the first coming of the Lord as the Lamb, which was represented in those lambs in the Old Testament. And those lambs that were sacrificed were pointing out to that perfect Lamb. Now notice, he in his third pool, which is the third pool of the ministry of Jesus after he was adopted, he finished, he fulfilled that Levitical order. And he established a new order, which he did himself. Therefore, in his second coming, he himself would have that ministerial breakdown, which has been coming forth for about 2,000 years. Now, all of this is being fulfilled, and this interlock is taking place, in which we are already in the stage of the beginning of that new dispensation. The dispensation of grace has already been shut. There is no opportunity to enter into the presence of God through that door. Now, God is doing something on this earth, which was shown in that vision that God gave the Reverend William Branham, where the pillar of fire was working in the midst of the people, bringing preaching, that is, teaching. There he saw altar calls. There he saw prayer lines. And there he saw a countless of things, of which they would all have a process, a time, between one and the other, but they would be interlacing until the time came when all those things that he saw would be carried out in the midst of the people of God. In the message, Heavenly Light, preached on March 19, 1978, Dr. William Soto tells us, and then we see that the thunders utter their voices. They speak here on earth, and we find that the thunders will be manifesting themselves and will be heard. And the people will be listening to them. The first to hear them will be under the fulfillment of the tenth vision. Because the thunders, then, we find that they will be thundering. the voice of the Lord in His second coming will be speaking in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. In some places in the book of quotations, he writes, the thunders in the tent, or the tent, the thunders. And he also writes, the teaching, the thunders in the tent. I believe you're understanding what I'm telling you. In plain words, the Lord in His second coming will be in a tent ministry, in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. And His voice, the voice of Christ in His second coming, will be heard there, in the book of quotations, on page 37, paragraph 311. It tells us, now notice, then the coming of the Lord Jesus is so close at hand, until the Spirit from way down in here, just barely justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and now right into the time of the coming of the headstone. The church has got to be so perfectly like Christ until Christ and the church can unite together, the same Spirit. And if the Spirit of Christ is in you, it makes you live the life of Christ, act the life of Christ, do the works of Christ. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Jesus said that. See? Now, we're going to have, we got a ministry coming that's just exactly like the life of Christ. What does that ministry identify? The coming of the Lord. And in a Bible study, placed next to that excerpt, he writes, the identification of the ministry is the coming of the Lord. What identifies that ministry? The coming of the Lord itself. Look at the Lutheran Church under justification, coming just so freshly from Catholicism. Look at it moving. Then look at Wesley coming a little closer into sanctification, weaving into the scriptures. Look at right in between the Wesley. Then the next thing come in was the Pentecostal age. And the Pentecostal age with the restoration of the gifts, the spiritual gifts. Now, look at the age coming now right up to the headstone. See what I mean? The coming of the Lord. And to the left he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone. The coming of the Lord, the made known. God and all creation is waiting for the church to positionally find its place. Upward to the right, he writes, the age of the cornerstone. And at the top he writes, the age of the cornerstone, the coming of the Lord. Now, Dr. William Soto continues saying here, in the message Heavenly Light, and everything that has been promised to be open to the public, to be made known, which would be made known through the thunders, will be made known through the thunders in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, in the Book of the Seals, on page 561, it tells us, it says, see Israel gathering in its own homeland. But you notice he omitted the revelation of the seventh seal. And here when the seventh seal, when he opened it, he also omitted it again. See, so we see that it's a complete mystery. Therefore the hour is not yet for the mystery to be known. Therefore we're this far, and the rest of it will be known right around about the time that Jesus appears on earth again for His bride, or whatever takes place at that time. And He draws an arrow towards the right with the cornerstone and the ages. And let us turn to 562, where He tells us, it says. Another thing, I want you to notice what's taking place. And if you're listening to the tape of the what time it is, sir, which was at the end of the month of December of 1962, you will notice that one angel was very notable to me. The rest of them just was seemed ordinarily. But this angel was a noted angel. It was to my left. There to the right, he draws a cornerstone on the ages, and he writes, left. He was to my left in the constellation in the form of a pyramid. Where? In the tenth vision that Brother Branham saw, he was standing there and looking towards the pulpit. He saw that the pillar of fire rested, that light, rested upon a little room. Where was the little room located? To the left. Therefore, that angel, that ministry of that angel, is operating in that instrument from a great tent cathedral, and his office is there. Because he, in every age and in every dispensation, has always used and uses his ambassadors, which are his prophets, his messengers. Surely the Lord will do nothing without first revealing his secrets unto his servants, his prophets. Amos 3:7. Therefore, the fulfillment of the tenth vision is the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord, of the ministry of Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. It is the messianic ministry. And that angel is the one that is working at this end time in the midst of the church bride. As simple as that. He is the one who has the seventh seal. He is the one who has the second coming of the Lord. He is the one who has the ministry for which silence was made in heaven for half an hour. Now he says, and remember, it was in the pyramid where the mysterious white rock was not written on. And the angels took me into that pyramid of themselves. Above that he writes the claim on the margin. And the angels took me into that pyramid of themselves, the mysteries of God known only to them. And now, them was the messengers that had come to interpret that pyramid, or that message of the secret of these seven seals which lays within inside the pyramid. Now the angel was to my left, would really be the last or seventh angel, if we would count them from left to right, because he was on my left, me looking to him towards the west, him coming towards the east, would be on the left side. So, that would be the last angel's message, very notable. Remember how I said he had got his head back and his great sharp wings, and there he writes Moses and Elijah, because the Son of Man comes with his angels. And how he flew right to me. Now, that is the seventh seal. And again, he writes above that, Moses and Elijah. It still is a notable thing. And we don't know what it is as yet, because it's not permitted to be broken. Close to the corner, on page 478, to the left, at the top, he writes, white stone. And at the end of that paragraph we read, he writes, the seventh seal not opened. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, and when Brother Branham saw, he was taken up there. He saw and heard inside of the tent. He says that he heard when he was taken to the tent. He says that he heard those thunders. Let us see where Brother Branham heard them. We're actually reviewing all these things. But in this review, well, I hope that we can see anything that we've overlooked. You remember the writing, the word has been given, has been brought. Now we have to review. Why is he telling us to review? Well, so that we will not overlook when God was carrying out the fulfillment of what was promised. Remember when Mary, there were two occasions. One was when the shepherds said that of Jesus to Joseph and Mary back then, and she pondered on it. And also on another occasion when he was found inside the temple. He says that Mary pondered and kept all the things in her heart. In other words, she remembered all of that. She reflected on it. I don't know if it is in Luke or Matthew. There were two places where it shows us that Mary represents the church of the Lord, the spiritual Mary, where that son was born of her at this end time, who is alive in the midst of the people, bringing the messianic fulfillment. Now, let us see where it's at. Luke 2 tells us verse 15, it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby laying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." See? And in the same chapter 2, verse what? 51. There he tells us. From verse 49, there he tells us, "And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And here to the right in this Bible, he draws a cornerstone on the ages and a star of David next to the cornerstone. In other words, where are the ministries of Moses and Elijah found? In the age of the cornerstone. In that new generation that began in 86. They had to find him in the midst of the church, in the spiritual temple, in the most holy place. "And they understood not the sayings which he spake unto them." And there he was 12 years old. "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all the sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." And there he drew another star of David to the right. Now, Brother William continues to say here, notice that he says that those thunders uttered their voices and opened the mystery of the seventh seal. And he says that the third pool is the same as the tenth vision, because when the Lord told him that that was the third pool, when he took him into the tent, and he saw and heard everything that he saw and heard, and he saw all of that, the Lord said to him, and that's the third pool, see? The third pool shown in the tenth vision. And now, notice, on the seals, page 551, and there he's going to read that portion. Let's have it open there. Page 551 of the Book of the Seals, where that part starts off there. Now notice, "So help me, by God, I tell the truth, that these are spiritually discerned to me, discerned by the Holy Spirit, and by every one of them has identified its place in the Bible. Now, what this great secret is that lays beneath the seal? And Brother William says, he's talking about the seventh seal. I don't know. I don't know it. I couldn't make it out. I couldn't tell it. Just what it said. But I know that it was the seven thunders ordering themselves right close together, just banging seven different times. And it unfolded into something else that I seen. And Brother William says, he saw it. Then, when I seen that, I looked for the interpretation. It flew across there, and I couldn't make it out. That's exactly right, see? The hour isn't quite yet for it. But it's moving into that cycle, see? It's coming up close. So, the thing for you to do is to remember that I speak to you in the name of the Lord. Be prepared, for you don't know what time something can happen. And here, on what time something can happen, he writes on top, the second coming of Christ. Now, Dr. William Soto continues saying, you don't know at what time you also hear the thunders and what is promised there, you know, will take place. Therefore, be prepared. Let me see if I can get you a little something here that is missing. There we saw that he looked for the interpretation. It flew past him. He wasn't able to interpret it. Now notice in this message, the mighty God unveiled before us on page 6-7 He tells us, let us see here. It's like many of you men, women, here tonight, maybe my age or a little older. You remember here in America years ago before, the Chinese, how they used to, they couldn't speak English. They run the laundry. The Chinese laundry man would take a tag and would tear it in a certain way. You take one part of the tag, he'll take the other part. But when you come back to claim your belongings, those two pieces of paper had to dovetail. And if they didn't dovetail just exactly right, you couldn't impersonate it any way. They would tear the paper, it had to match exactly. It couldn't be all mismatched. Because he had one piece and you had the other. And if it impersonated, then you had a right to claim what was yours. So it is tonight, when we got the other part of the contract. When God tore his son in two at Calvary, taking the body up for a sacrifice and sent the spirit down to us, that once lived in a man, Jesus, that same God is veiled tonight in the form of the Holy Ghost. And on the left he writes, the Holy Spirit. Those two pieces had to come together. Then you're part of the contract. God did this to be better known to man when he made himself man. And below he writes, the promise, - a piece of paper. The fulfillment, - the other part. In other words, notice that the elect would have the message, the prophecy, the promise, and they would also have the fulfillment. What good is it for you to have the promise, that piece of paper, to have the prophecy, to have the promise, to have the message? I have all the books. What good is it to you if you don't have the fulfillment? Blessed are the elect who have the fulfillment and the message. We have the message and the fulfillment. And they may say, I know the message from top to bottom. But if they don't have that word being quickened, brought to life, they have nothing. What good is it to back then for them to believe that that lamb they were going to sacrifice pointed out to that perfect lamb? When the perfect lamb appeared to them, what good was it for them to believe in Moses and the prophets if once the perfect lamb was there, they didn't believe him? See? And that's how it is in this time. What good is it to have the knowledge of the message from top to bottom, but when the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord comes, the fulfillment of what was promised, forerunned by the Reverend William Branham, then they reject him. They say he's insane, he's an usurper, Beelzebub. He's an imposter. The same thing that happened in the first coming of the Lord. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, we find on page, let's see what page it is. He says the reason he couldn't interpret or decipher what was said. I think I have it around here. He was speaking about the tenth vision, and he says, a voice came and said, and let us see here, that is in, which is a book from the seals, to have it open there. He is speaking about the tenth vision. Let us look here. 538 and 500. Let us see. On 500. On 500, I'm looking for a place, 453, before turning to the next page, he says, I've got wrote down here when it happened, in other words, when the matter of the tenth vision takes place. If you can see here, stop. Go no further than this right here. I'm not prone to be a fanatic. I'm just telling you the truth. But you remember that little shoe that I always try to explain? How that the soul laid next to so-and-so and the inner conscience. And there to the right, he draws three circles and he writes soul. And on top, on that margin, right above where we start reading, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And on the cornerstone, he writes soul. And on top, most holy place, which it only made a big bunch of impersonations, starts after it. How they have to take up the hand and hold the people and have vibrations. Everybody had vibrations in their hands. But you remember when he took me up there and said, this is that third pool. And no one will know it. You remember that? Visions never fail. They are perfectly the truth. Now notice on page 563, there is where he begins to read. A voice come said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. Said, now let them alone. And just then he picked me up. He took me up and sit me way up high to where a meeting was going on. Looked like a tent or a cathedral of some sort. And I looked and there was a little box, like little place over in the side. And I seen that light was talking to somebody above me. There he draws a cornerstone, the ages, and an arrow in the seventh age where he was. And an arrow towards the cornerstone. The light that you see there on the picture whirled away from me like that and went over that tent and said, I'll meet you there. And said, this will be the third pool and you won't tell it to nobody. Brother William says, what will that third pool be? And in Sabino Canyon, he said, this is the third pool. Brother William says, in other words, that regarding the sword in the hand. And there are three great things that goes with it. And one unfolded today or yesterday, and he writes here in the book, Moses and Elijah, the sixth seal. The other one unfolded today, and he writes the seventh seal. And there's one thing, and he writes the second coming of the Lord. And there is one thing that I cannot interpret because it is an unknown language. But I stand right there and look right straight at it. And this is the third pool coming up. And the Holy Spirit of God, oh my. That's the reason all heaven was silent. Dr. William Soto goes on to say, after reading there, why was all heaven silent? Because of that third pool that was left. That last part of the third pool which was left. Because of that part is that heaven was in silent. And Brother Branham says that he saw, back then, the angel told him, that's the third pool. And what happened to him in Sabino Canyon, the sword in his hand, he, a man, a prophet, with the sword in his hand. That was the third pool back then. And that again comes to be the third pool. The part of the third pool that was left. On page 12a of this book of quotations, paragraph 117. It tells us, even though the sword be the word, it takes the hand of strong faith to hold it there, to bring it to the heart of the enemy. And he writes to the right, Revelation 19, 11 to 21. And on top he writes, the strong hand equals the faith. The sword equals the sword. And Dr. William Soto continues to say, that is why, he said, I have to hand this sword over to somebody else. That is in the book of quotations, or seals, book of the seals, where he is praying there. On page 558, there he tells us, I know my days can't be too many more. And I pray that you'll help me to let me be true, Lord, and honest and sincere, that I may be able to bear the message as far as it's ordained for me to bear. And when it comes the time that I must lay down, and I get down to the river, there above, he writes, Revelation 19, 11 to 21. And I get down to the river, and the waves begin to come in. Oh God, may I be able to hand this old sword over to somebody else that'll be honest with it, Lord, and will pack the truth. And there on top of there, that last sentence we read, the word to Moses and Elijah, the angel of Jesus. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages on the right side and an arrow towards the cornerstone. There is where that writing that he left us in a notebook goes, where he writes, after me, that was written by Dr. William Soto in a writing, after me comes another messenger. How can I hand this sword over to somebody else who packs the truth? Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say, now, all these things are the reason why there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Silence where? Not on earth, but in heaven. Because of these things that would happen in the opening of the seventh seal. And that is the second coming of the Lord. Now, you can see that the seventh seal is the second coming of the Lord. And in the second coming of the Lord, the thunders utter their voices. In the second coming of the Lord is the time of the ministry of tent. In the message, the anointed ones at the end time, where there is a portion on the back of the message, the angel's visit in this booklet, there when he is narrating that of the tenth vision, and he tells him, and I heard the familiar swishing sound made by the light that accompanies my ministry. He writes, swishing sound. He wrote it to the left, upward. And I saw it go from me to the little room. The angel of the Lord was still standing by me in the air. He said to me, I'll meet you in there. And I saw his hand point to the little room. He added, this is the third pool. In today's message, you will see that Brother William says there that there's a little wooden room, and he says, for somebody to study. Therefore, it has to be a veil of flesh who needs to be searching, studying, praying to God, and God opening the full picture to him and giving him the message of that time that he's going to preach, searching for everything, see, a place of study. And I saw his hand point to the little room. He added, this is the third pool. I said, I do not understand this. He replied, in there, I will meet you. And he writes here, it is the ministry of the Lord in his second coming. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, the thunders utter their voices in the second coming of the Lord. It is the time of the tenth ministry. In the second coming of the Lord, it is the time for the elect to receive the rapture in faith. In the coming of the Lord, it is the time for the light to shine from heaven. In the second coming of the Lord, it is the time for the trumpet to sound. In the second coming of the Lord, it is the time for the dead in Christ to then resurrect, and for us who are alive to be transformed at that time. Therefore, then all these things are the ones under that seventh seal. Notice that under each of the past seals of the church ages, under each seal there was a messenger with a message, and there was a group of believers who received that message, and who were sealed by the messenger with the message brought by that messenger. In the message, the restoration of the bride tree, on page 52-53, there the Reverend William Branham tells us, oh brother, he didn't pull no punches with them. That's right. That was the fruit of God. He's speaking about Jesus. What was it? Stay with the Word of God. Make the Word of God manifest. He said otherwise. What did the Scripture say I, the Messiah, will do when I come? Now, if I don't bear that fruit of that word, then I am not the Messiah. But if I bear the fruit of that word that the Messiah was supposed to do, then I am him. And he writes to the left side upward, the fruit of the prophetic word is the fulfillment. The fruit of the prophetic word is the fulfillment. And Dr. William Soto continues to say here, and in the second coming of the Lord, in the seventh seal, there will be a messenger with the corresponding message for that time. And that messenger will be the Lord in his second coming. And with it, with that message, the elect will be called. They will be claimed. And they will be in that message which corresponds to that time for the coming of the Lord. That is why the fourth Elijah always said, watch for the coming of the Lord. We are watching for the coming of the Lord. In the message, Christ is identified the same in all generations. Notice on page 9, the Reverend William Branham tells us, now remember, don't forget, our theme is, in our text, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, my text subject for tonight is, Christ is identified the same in all generations. Now, the Bible said, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we want to know how he could be, how we'd recognize him. If he is here just as he was any other time, then we'd like to know how he is recognized among us. And there he writes, How must he identify himself today? In the form of a question. And he answered himself, he writes, by fulfilling his promised word. See? There you have the two little pieces of paper. Now, Dr. Soto continues to say, therefore, you can see that what was happening back then in the church ages, that is a type and figure pointed to what would happen under the seventh seal, what would happen in the coming of the Lord. And then everyone gathered where? According to the promise. We find that the promise is that we will all be gathered in the coming of the Lord. And since that is a promise, we know that the fulfillment of that promise is once the elect are gathered in the coming of the Lord. And when that is fulfilled, then everybody will be gathered where? In the second coming of the Lord. Everyone in the message of the second coming of the Lord, which is the third pool. Everybody believing in the corresponding message for that time. In other words, the teaching under the tent. There is where the fourth Elijah says that all the elect will be gathered together. They will be gathered in Christ. They will be gathered together in the second coming of the Lord. On page 141 of the book of quotations, there he speaks to us about those reaping angels. And he tells us that it would be a gathering, a harvest, a separation and a gathering. Page 141, paragraph 1260 says, notice, in verse 41, Matthew 13, the two also very close, so close in the last days, still he didn't do, he could not depend on some certain church to separate them. Say the Methodist or the Baptist or the Pentecostals to separate them. He said, he sent his angels to separate them. An angel is coming to bring the separation, the segregation between the right and the wrong. And no one can do that but the angel of the Lord. He is the one that is going to tell which is right and which is wrong. It's not what each person is going to say as an individual. No, it's because I know. I have here or I know that. What I believe, I doesn't go. There is only one who knows which is right and which is wrong. And is the angel of the Lord, is the Holy Spirit. God said he will send his angels at the last times. Not angels down through here, but angels at the last time. And would gather together. In other words, he also comes for harvest. We know that this is the coming harvest time now. Now an angel is actually interpreted a messenger. And we see that there is seven angels of the seven churches, and now? No, through the church ages. And there on top he writes, in the separation, he will send his angels, Moses and Elijah, the gathering and harvest. There on the right, he drew three cornerstones, and the part of the ages below. In other words, in that paragraph, he distributed three cornerstones. There we have the three ministries, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, there are other places where the fourth Elijah speaks about this. Therefore, that is why he says, I'll tell you where you'll be gathered. You'll be gathered in Christ. And Christ, Messiah, and Anointed One are the same thing. In other words, they will be gathered together by the Anointed One. So what will all the people of God be waiting for? The second coming of Christ. To be gathered together in the second coming of the Lord. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Now, in the message, the rapture, he tells us that those three things are done by one person, although they were shown in the Reverend William Branham, and also in Dr. William Soto Santiago. Notice, he says here, for the Lord himself, 16 verse, shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. I am reading on page 24 of the book titled The Rapture. Three things happen: a shout, a voice, a trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. Now, a shout, Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. And there he writes, God will do three prophet all three things. And to the left, he also draws there a cornerstone. And he writes from 6-9. That is in the fourth watch. And do you remember a writing or a message we read where he says, we were living in the last hour of the third watch. In other words, from 5-6 in the morning. Now, he continues to say, and then all the elect are gathered there to receive the faith for the rapture. And then those who are sleeping will be resurrected, and those who are alive will be transformed after the trumpet of the Lord has sounded. And that trumpet announces what? The seventh seal. It opens to the public the seventh seal, which is the second coming of the Lord. In the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, on page 79, the Reverend William Branham tells us, the devil is howling about this, the manifested truth of the promise of the word is her alone. They don't have the answer. When Jesus come, why didn't those Pharisees, he said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, who do you cast them out by? See? He stood alone. And his church stands alone. She is not hooked with nothing. But he was identified by God, being the body that God dwelled in. And the church is identified by his body, doing the same thing. She is his body. And he writes, the identification of the church. And he writes, Elijah and Moses. Remember the scripture when we read these days that Moses said, may God will that all the people were prophets? Notice how Moses, God took of his spirit and put it in 70. And you can see there that two of them were not there. And they also received, they prophesied. Therefore, at a distance, wherever an elect of God is, that ministry of a prophet will also be in the elect. Because those two consciences together will be in those elect. And that is how they will be able to see those that will resurrect. And that is not of him that wills nor of him that runs, but of God, who chose them by his election. They are the ones written in the book. No one can say, I want to be one of them. Well, if he is written, then yes. Now, he continues saying on page 79, she is his body, the manifested truth of his promised word, for the last days. And she alone stands by it. That's why the devil is howling these great organizations to set up something to close her up. They'll never do it. She'll be taken up, not closed up. She is now risen and by the power of the vindicated word promised to her. And he writes to the left, resurrection by the word, by Elijah and Moses. I was speaking yesterday to a brother. We were talking yesterday. And I was telling him that when God sends a ministering spirit to earth, in other words, a prophet, that is something great. That is the greatest sign. But why does he send that messenger? Because His children are there in the time in which He sends him. Therefore, the greatest thing that God has on this earth are His children. It is His church bride. He has come for her. He has and goes through certain things in that veil of flesh for her. Not just because He wants to, but out of love for His children. Out of love for you. If not, He would not have to send a messenger. But the greatest thing on this earth are the elect of God. It is you. It's because of you that He has come at this time and has fulfilled what was promised by the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, the Reverend William Branham. Everything He promised that He was going to do is for you. Do you hear that? On this earth, you are the most important thing that this planet Earth has. Once He finds them, what does He says there? He puts them at the top. He takes them up. And no one will persuade them out of there. Now notice. She is now risen and by the power of the vindicated word promised to her. Amen. How a bride holds that promise. He told me He would return after me. I believe it. He has come for you and has fulfilled that promise. See? Yes, sir. To meet her headship, her redeemer, her husband, her king, her lord, her lover, her savior. Oh, when one identifies Him, oh, Lord, thank You, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord, the lover, the Savior, the husband, in the provided meeting place. Where? In the most holy place. It is in the age of the cornerstone. There is where you can see the Lord in His last manifestation. Just as Peter, James, and John saw Him on Mount Transfiguration, you will not see Him at the bottom. If you don't see Him, then let me tell you, you're not in the age of the cornerstone. To be in the age of the cornerstone, you have to go up. And there is where you will see Him manifested, revealed, being manifested as it was promised. But it is so simple. He's got a place to meet them. You know, The bride don't leave out nothing. He's got the ring, the identification. He's got the robe that she wears, her clothing, see? And He's got the provided place to meet her. That's in the air. Everything has been all provided. He's got the wedding supper already set. Guests already invited, already chosen. All the angels are standing around. His servants at attention. And to the left He writes, Resurrection by the Word, by Elijah and Moses. And He also writes Revelation 19, 11 to 21. And He writes, The Supper. The Supper. Now, Dr. William Soto says, in this message that we are reading, Heavenly Light, that is why we have to understand and know all these things. Know the purpose for which the seventh seal is open. And do you know what Brother Branham says? That all of that, he says, it will be in a simple way, he says. Notice now for the end of time message, the seal. So let us turn to the page. He doesn't mention it here, but let us read that part. The page that it is, on page 549. There is where it tells us. He's reading from that page. Notice now for the end of time message, the seal. After all, He has revealed all six seals, but He don't say nothing about the seventh. At the end time seal, when it starts, and Brother William says, when it begins, will be absolutely a total secret. Brother William says, when it begins, it will be a secret, according to the Bible. Before knowing that, and remember Revelation 10, 1-7. 1-7. Chapter 10, 1-7. At the end of the seventh angel's message, all mysteries of God would be known. We are at the end time, the opening of the seventh seal. Now, how did I know? The other day, last Sunday, a week ago today, when I was preaching on Be Humble, Be Humble, and Brother William says, that is God in simplicity. Remember, God deals in little things. I didn't realize what I really was talking about, and now I see it. Brother William says, see what he had said to them the previous Sunday, that the message, God in simplicity, whoever can't catch the message, God in simplicity, will not be able to catch, will not be able to understand what would be revealed. So we have to understand the message, God in simplicity, in order to catch, in order to receive what God promised that He will do at this time, he says. And he continues reading. I didn't realize what I really was talking about. Now Brother William says, there are other places where Brother Branham also says that the prophets of God, when they spoke, he says they didn't realize what they were saying. They did not understand what they were saying, but they knew that they were speaking the word of God, because they were inspired to speak those things, even though they did not understand them. Even though they may not understand them. Look in the message, this day the scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. This day the scripture is fulfilled. The Reverend William Branham says on page 6. Notice he says on paragraph 46. He says, the acceptable year, as we all know, as Bible readers, was the year of Jubilee. That when all slaves and prisoners, all they were being taken prison and had to give a son to pay a debt or a daughter to pay a debt, and they were in bondage. No matter how long they had been in bondage or how long they was supposed to stay there, when the year come of the Jubilee, when the trumpet sounded, and at the top he writes, the gospel, the trumpet. Every man could go free if he wanted to go free. Here on the left, he writes on the page 6 at the bottom, he writes, Jubilee and the great trumpet of the gospel. And here he writes, another year of Jubilee. You're free. You was no more slave. But if you desire to remain a slave, then you had to be taken down to the temple, stood by the temple post. And they took an owl and bored a hole in your ear. And then you had to serve that slave master the rest of your days. On the Book of the Seals, there's a page where he speaks about that. What a perfect example it is of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When it's preached, the acceptable time and the time of Jubilee, and to the left he writes Jubilee, anybody, no matter who you are, what color you are, what denomination you belong to, how it's far you've stooped in sin or what's wrong with you, you can go free when you hear. Did not matter how he was, in what condition he was in. The gospel trumpet sound out, you are free. On page 200, regarding the spear, to have another place there. Page 200 of the seals. In the Old Testament, when a man had been sold to slavery, there come a year of Jubilee every 50 year, 49th year, and then the year of Jubilee. And when a slave heard this, and he wanted to go free, there isn't nothing that can keep him from going free. He can throw down his hoe and say, so long, go back home. The trumpet sounded. That's right. There to the right, he writes, the 50th year of Jubilee and the trumpet. But if he don't want to go, and he was satisfied with his slave master, then he's taken into the temple, and they take an owl. You know what an owl is? And they press his ear and put a hole in his ear. And it's a mark. Then he can't never go back. Is that right? He has to serve this master for all time. I don't care how many more times the Jubilee sounds, whatever happens, he absolutely has sold out his birthright of being free. And when a man turns down the gospel truth, Satan marks him. Because he marks him with, that is unbelief. And there's no way. He can be shown all the places where it speaks so plainly, and he will never see it, because he's already marked with unbelief. Where? In his ear. They can hear, and it's as they heard nothing. He deafens him, so he can't hear the truth no more, and he's finished. He stays with the group that he's with, if he won't hear the truth. No. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See? See, the truth makes free, and you shall know truth, and the truth shall make you free. God marks his when they come. God marks his by vindicating his promise word through them. And he writes there, vindicate his promise word to the right. Vindicate his promise word. Now, he goes on to say in this message, this day the scripture is fulfilled. He says, but if you desire to remain a slave, then you had to be taken down to the temple, stood by the temple post. And they took an owl and bored a hole in your ear. And then you had to serve that slave master the rest of your days. What a perfect example it is of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When it's preached, the acceptable time and the time of Jubilee, anybody, no matter who you are, what color you are, what denomination you belong to, how it's far you've stooped in sin or what's wrong with you, you can go free when you hear the gospel trumpet sound out. You are free. But if you turned your back upon the message and refused to hear it, notice, you were bored in the ear with an owl. That means to say that you have crossed the line between grace and judgment. And you will never hear the gospel again. You'll never get any further. You must be a slave to the system you're in the rest of your days if you refuse to hear the acceptable year. And there to the left, he writes, the acceptable year. Now, the other part of it, as I said, the need to be answered. Because this coming Messiah, a time now, is when he will bring judgment. And he writes, Messiah will bring judgment. He will preach it. He will speak it. Now, how could those people ever fail to see who he was? How did they ever miss it? How could it be when it was so plainly made known and showed? How could they have ever missed seeing when he... What a word, think of it. This day is the scripture fulfilled before your eyes. Who said it? God himself. Who is the interpreter of his own word? This day is the scripture fulfilled. The Messiah himself standing in the presence of the congregation. Then he writes Messiah on the right side. And reading a word out of the Bible pertaining to himself and then saying, today the scripture is fulfilled. And they still failed to see it. What a tragedy that would be. But it's happened. It's happened many times. How could it happen? Of course, like it did in other times, by believing man's interpretation of the word. That's what cost it. And he writes there upward, because of believing the human interpretation, they were unable to understand. Those believers in them days, so-called believers, was taking their interpretation of what the priest had said about the scripture. Therefore, Jesus, not belonging to any of their ranks or their societies, he was excommunicated from their company, and therefore they could not identify him with them, because he was different from them. The person of Jesus Christ was so unique that no one should have missed seeing that was the Son of God, because he was the perfect identification of the scriptures that was wrote of him. That's the way any Christian is known. When his life identifies the very things that the Christian is supposed to do. How he could stand there and say, this day the scripture is fulfilled right before your eyes. How standing, how so plainly. And yet those people misunderstood. Why? is because they took the interpretation of some order of priests that they were listening to. And history always repeats itself. And scriptures has a compound meaning to it, and a compound revelation. And he writes, the history repeats itself. Compound meaning and revelation. For instance, like it says in the Bible that out of Egypt I have called my son, referring to Jesus. Run the margin on that and you'll find out, also referred to Jacob. Same scripture. Jesus was his greater son. Jacob was his son that he called out of Egypt, which the Scofield reference and all other references go to it, because that's the scripture it was referring to. So he had a double answer. He had an answer to Jacob called out and to Jesus called out. And there he writes, Jacob and Jesus. And above Jesus he writes, Moses, called out from among the Gentiles. He writes that there also. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, in the book of the seals, where he is reading that portion, where he paused, he says, and now I see it. It is in such a humble way. You would think that something like that would be revealed to the Vatican or, but it comes just like John the Baptist. It comes like the birth of our Lord in a stable. Glory to God. So help me. The hour is at hand. Amen. We're here. Oh my. And Brother William says, now you can see how the opening of the seventh seal comes. It comes like John the Baptist came, and just like the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ came. In the message, the indictment, on page 8, it tells us, the Reverend William Branham. On page 8 of the indictment, he says, in the first Exodus, he was a pillar of fire. Then when he came on earth, in the land to where he led them, what a beautiful type it will be in the millennium, where he is leading the church now. We shall see him as he is, and will have a body like his own glorious body. He writes, glorified. And today, by the light of the gospel reflecting from a light, a pillar of fire visible among us. Science has seen it. It's in magazines and across the world. And it's both scientifically and spiritually recognized as the same pillar of fire by the same signs and same things it did always. And now, in the midst of the days when there is a lot of fanatism and things, yet God always identifies himself. And there he draws Star of David. And he writes upward on the right. God identified himself. Now we find this, and what a glorious thing is to know that this earthly tabernacle someday, this old frail body that we're sick and afflicted in, will be changed and made like unto his own glorious body. Then we shall see him as he is, and be with him in the land that we're bound for today. Oh, I'd almost make us feel like standing and singing, I am bound for the promised land. And he draws Star of David to the left there. And he writes upward to the top, the third Exodus. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, how does the opening of the seventh seal comes? In human flesh. Revealed in human flesh to the people, to the public, and then, thus is the promise that is made. In the book of quotations on page 120, tells us, paragraph 1069, he says, now notice, Jesus said that would come again. As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. Again the Spirit of God will come upon mortal human flesh. That man eat the meat of a calf, drinking the milk from the cow, and eat butter and bread in human flesh. And Abraham said he was Elohim, God manifested in flesh. Jesus promised that God, before His coming, would be manifested in human flesh again. That's the Holy Spirit. There is only one God manifesting Himself, separating again Lot from Abraham. See the separation? Lot wanted the world. God tore up his world and separated Abraham and Lot. Lot, being a type of the carnal believer who didn't think these things were true, he just went on down in Sodom. Lot was just a penny. Abraham was a silver dollar. So he taken 100 Lots to make a Abraham. And above he writes, the coming of the Son of Man equals the Spirit of God would come in human flesh. The coming of the Son of Man equals the Spirit of God would come in human flesh. And on page 9a, paragraph 86, he tells us, what was it? It was God in flesh. And Jesus was God in flesh. And the Holy Ghost tonight is God in flesh, showing to the church, bringing to pass His promise. Glory. O Church of God, rise on the wings. And he writes there, Moses and Elijah, above, rise on the wings. Rise on the wings of an eagle and fly away from this thing. And he writes right next to it, there, to fulfill the promise. To fulfill the promise. And below that paragraph, across the bottom, the Holy Spirit in flesh. And to the left, upward, he writes, eagle's wings. And above the paragraph, he writes, eagle's wings. And below that, the Holy Spirit equals God in flesh today. Page 154 of the Book of the Seals. But when this Holy Spirit that we have, the one that's in our midst right now in the form of the Holy Ghost, becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In other words, we'll recognize Him. Who is the one that recognizes Him? The church bride. He cannot be anyone else. If you're not of the church bride, you cannot recognize Him. Now he goes on to say, therefore, this is Dr. William Soto, therefore, the revelation of the seventh seal, the opening of that mystery of the seventh seal, how does it come? It comes the way he says there, just like John the Baptist came, just like the Lord Jesus Christ came. That is how the seventh seal comes. In plain words, God comes manifested in human flesh, fulfilling the seventh seal, fulfilling the second coming. There is no other way, nor is there any way to avoid it being that way. On page 116 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1026, he tells us, this book is already open. That's right. Just waiting for the seventh seal to be identified of the coming of Christ. And above he writes, seventh seal equals the coming of the Lord. Two dots, Elijah and Moses. Seventh seal equals the coming of the Lord. Two dots, Elijah and Moses. And in an excerpt, this excerpt was placed in a Bible study, and next to it he writes, the seventh seal will be identified by the coming of Christ. The seventh seal will be identified by the coming of Christ. In this message, Shalom, the one preached on January 12th, of 1964, he tells us on page 21 to 22, he says, that same light has come. To what? To manifest, to make known to the people the promises that he's made for this day, manifested light of the day. The darkness is darkened. There he draws the Star of David to the right, and to the left he writes, the light and the darkness. When he come, he was the light of the day. There was supposed to come a Messiah, and he came just exactly like God said he did, would come. And when he did, what was he? The light of the day, and it pressed the darkness so against him. Here at the bottom he writes, Fourth Elijah equals the evening light of the eighth day. Fifth Elijah and Second Moses equals the morning light of the eighth day. Because remember that days begin in the evening. Is that right? He had to give his life that the light continue, could shine. He was the light of the day. But why? Why was he the light of the day? He was the vindicated word that had been spoken, made manifest. And he writes, flesh. And above he writes, the light equals the word manifested. No more than, God said over this dark, gloomy, dismal, mossy world that stood here without light, he said, let there be light. And he writes, let there be light, and he draws the Star of David. Remember the message, there is a man. There's a man here who can turn on the light. And it wasn't light until that word was manifested. Then it was light. He said, there come a Savior, a Messiah. It still wasn't manifested until he come to manifest that promise. And when he vindicated that promise, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they that testify of me. They are they that testify of me, they said. We know not whence thou comest. We are Moses' disciples. The same thing they say. We are disciples of Brother Branham's message, or we are disciples of Brother William's message. We don't know where you come from. He said, if you were Moses' disciples, you would know me, for Moses wrote of me. See? He was the manifestation. He was the vindication of the spoken word of God by Moses. And there he draws the Star of David, and he writes, the vindication equals the fulfillment. It is the light of the day. And today, that we are now living in, God has come on the scene to vindicate and prove his promises. So it's the light of the hour, so we can rise and shine. The light shines upon us again today. The word is being made manifest. It's the light. Now, our Brother William continues to say in this message, anyone who tries to prevent the way that God has established, well, he's harming himself. The person is harming himself. If he tries to prevent the fulfillment of what was promised, that the ministry of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah would be in a great tent cathedral. He is harming himself, because in his second coming, he comes with a specific purpose. He comes to claim his predestinated bride. He comes to claim his elect. He comes to claim all those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he comes for the blessing of all his people. He comes so that he can give them the rapturing faith. He comes to transform them. He comes to transfer them from here. In the message, the end time evangelism, on page 10, the Reverend William Branham tells us, same thing today. When you see his work, now we have already seen and are witnessing the appearing of the Lord. He draws the Star of David. And he writes upward to the right, the appearing of Jesus equals with Elijah. Now remember, appearing and coming is two different words. To appear. and he writes above, with Elijah. That was in the appearing of the manifestation of Elijah in his fourth manifestation, the Reverend William Branham, to appear, and he writes, with Elijah, and then to come, and above that, he writes, with Moses and Elijah. Now is the appearing. In other words, at the time when he was there for running the coming of the Lord, for running the Lord's coming. He's already appeared in these last days, right here with us in the last few years. Now, it's a sign of his coming. He's appearing in his church in the form of the Holy Spirit, showing that it's him, because people cannot do these things that you see the Holy Spirit doing. So that's the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, it spoke both places, appearing and coming. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow towards the ages and towards the gap. And here to the right, he writes in three sentences or lines, the coming of Jesus equals claim. Lion equals Moses and Elijah. The coming of Jesus equals claim, because he comes in his claiming work in his second coming. The coming of the Lord equals claim lion, because he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Lion equals Moses and Elijah. Our brother William continues to say, notice that the entire simple way that God uses, he uses it because he has always used the simple way he predestinated to use. Because God great things, when he fulfills them, it is always in a simple way, a humble way. What makes people stumble is always God's simplicity. The simple way in which God reveals himself in human flesh in order to fulfill what he has promised. It doesn't matter how simple God makes things, God still identifies the fulfillment of what he promised. And when he identifies it, then what happens? It doesn't matter who says they can't believe. That is worthless. The person who can't believe is harming himself. And God always identifies himself how? By fulfilling what he promised. The fulfillment of what he promised is what? Is the manifestation of what was fulfilled, what was prophesied. In the book of quotations, notice on page 126, also tells us there, on paragraph 1126, in them days it was God in a man, his son, Jesus Christ. We believe that. Not just a prophet, not just an ordinary man, ordinary human. It was God in Christ. God in a man. The fullness of the Godhead bodily in a man. God in a man. Now, it's God in man. See? The fullness of God in the Godhead bodily in his entire church, manifesting himself, fulfilling his word. And to the right he writes upward, God in his church. And above that paragraph he writes, the fullness of God in his church, fulfilling his word. The fullness of God in his church, fulfilling his word. And he continues to say here, and God always identifies himself on this earth in each time, in each age, and in each dispensation. He identifies himself, and he's identified here on earth. We have seen in this excerpt that we read what God would be carrying out at this end time. And we can say that we have both things. We have the two pieces of paper. We have the scripture, we have the prophecies, we have the message, and we have the fulfillment. We have both things. Thanks to God that he has opened our understanding, the scripture, to us, and that we have been able to identify where the pillar of fire willed away to. Where is the pillar of fire today? In the Great Tent Cathedral, in the fulfillment of the third pool. Let us stand. And Thus, we can prepare ourselves to receive this message, which is a greeting that he gave them. But what a greeting! There he spoke clearly. But notice, a person can have all those messages, but if the veil is not pulled back, there is no way they can see it. They have to be written there, in that book, which, notice, at a distance, those who were not in the tabernacle there were also prophesying. In other words, there was no way for them not to do what God had spoken to Moses. Choose for me 70, and I will put of your spirit in them. God, take of my spirit and put it in your people, and may they soon be prophets. So that, Lord, this way they can see and they can look into that dimension and be prepared so that when the resurrection takes place, they can see them. That is my desire to the Heavenly Father. Take of my spirit, Lord, and put it in your people so that they can see your wonders. And so that they can understand more and more your program in this third pool and thus be prepared to receive their transformation. But first, Lord, shake your people. Shake, Lord, this world. Fill these vessels, as the forerunner said, and shake this world, Lord, and show this world your power in your children. That is my petition to the Heavenly Father, so that it is so with each one of you, not only those who are here in this place, that also happened to those who weren't beside Moses back then, from a distance. See how important it is to tune in with the tent? That is the importance of tuning in to the right place. It is like when you have an extension cord, and you want to power a drill or an electrical device. You have to plug it into the place where there is power to make it work. You cannot plug it in to an outlet that doesn't have the wires to supply the current. You have to make sure the outlet has current. That current is the Holy Spirit running through our veins. And at this end time, it would produce that eternal and glorified body. He says, the gray hair will go out, the wrinkles will fall away. But what's happening to me? That's the creative word working in each elect. We can sing a song. I don't know if Nishinya can repeat the song, because having her here is a miracle. So we have to take advantage of that voice and have her join us with the song she was singing. She comes from Brazil. It's a long trip. So, we can sing that song, which she sang for us earlier in the devotional. And in that way, we prepare ourselves to receive the message that we have for today. I don't know if you have it written, so that the brethren can also follow along with that beautiful song. And in that way, we prepare ourselves to hear this message that we've chose for today. God's Anointed One is speaking directly to our hearts today.
Yeah. El ungido de Dios está hablándonos directo al corazón. El ungido de Dios está hablándonos amablemente, dándonos la fe perfecta para el rapto y transformación. El ángel diferente a los demás, Moisés y Elías, es Apocalipsis 19 que está en operación. Tú necesitas a él recibir para poder entender. Hoy es lanzado a la eternidad el que pueda creer. Por eso estoy proclamando este mensaje para toda la humanidad, que el tiempo ya no es más. Está sellando el ángel fuerte con el sello del Dios vivo, hoy a su novia amada, que muy pronto va a transformar. Por doquier que hijos de Dios estén, Él los encontrará. Los ministerios del arcángel Gabriel los estuvo juntando y anunció a María espiritual la venida del Rey. Que se cumpla en uno de nuestros hermanos, trayendo redención. Una voz salí del trono de Dios en la gran carpa catedral, es la enseñanza, el maná que trae este tiempo final. Por eso Él está hoy proclamando este mensaje para toda la humanidad, que el tiempo ya no es más. Está sellando el ángel fuerte con el sello del Dios vivo, hoy es su novia amada, que muy pronto va a transformar. Por doquier que hijos de Dios estén, Él los encontrará. Está sellando el ángel fuerte con el sello del Dios vivo, hoy es su novia amada, que muy pronto va a transformar. El ungido de Dios está hablándonos directo al corazón.
The pillar of fire, which led the Hebrew people and brought them out of Egypt and introduced them into the promised land, is the same pillar of fire that appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. It is the same pillar of fire that led the people throughout the ages through each angel messenger. And it is the same one. There is no other one. It is the same pillar of fire that the Reverend William Branham saw in the 10th vision. And one may say, to see the pillar of fire lighting their way back then to the children of Israel, that must have been something glorious. They had that contact with the pillar of fire. They saw it. And during the day, it was a cloud that covered them. Wow. That's something great. But it is even greater to see it today. If that was great, it is greater today. Because today is the time when he would be removing the kingdom of the Gentiles and would be establishing his kingdom. And that happens here first, in the heart, in the soul of the individual and of the church as a mystical body of believers, as a spiritual temple. His kingdom is his church, and he has to establish it here first. That's what he's doing today. And we can say, look, Brother Branham, there on page 428 on the Book of the Seals, he says, this same pillar of fire coming upon Paul on the road to Damascus, he wrote many books of the Bible called the Word of God. And now, Lord, he is already praying in the sixth seal. And now, Lord, that same pillar of fire, by the evidence of the proof of the Word and by the scientific research, we see it here revealing the Word of the Lord. And to the right, he writes, the pillar of fire, the Logos. God, let the people be quickly awakened. Lord, quickly. Those who have their names put on the Book of Life, when this flashes across their path in a world of blackness, of darkness, there is a man here that can turn on the light. When this flashes across their path, may they see, like the little ill-famed woman. And how did she see it? She saw it in Jesus. Therefore, it doesn't matter what condition you are in. You can see the light today. May they see, like the little ill-famed woman, at the well that day, she recognized quickly, and she knew it was the scripture. And he writes there the fulfillment. And in a note, in a writing, here on the Book of the Seals, he writes, when that light shines on their path, when they see it, they know that it is the fulfillment of the scriptures. Let us see, Lord, the fulfillment of the scriptures. Let me see that light, the way this woman saw it here, whom Brother Branham is referring to. Today, we are seeing that light. Today we have recognized that light. Today we have identified it. Let's sing that song again. God Anointed One, speaking directly to our heart, establishing his kingdom.
El ungido de Dios está hablándonos directo al corazón, dándonos la fe perfecta para el rapto y transformación. El ángel diferente a los demás, Moisés y Elías, es Apocalipsis 19 que está en operación. tú necesitas dar recibir para poder oír y entender. Hoy es lanzado a la eternidad el que pueda creer. Por eso él está hoy proclamando este mensaje para toda la humanidad. Y el tiempo ya no es más. Está sellando el hombre fuerte con el sello del Dios vivo. Hoy es su novia amada que muy pronto va a transformar. Por doquier que hijos de Dios estén, Él los encontrará. Los ministerios del arcángel Gabriel los estuvo juntando y anunció a María espiritual la venida del Rey, que se cumple en uno de nuestros hermanos trayendo redención. Una voz salí del trono de Dios en la gran carpa catedral. Es de enseñanza el maná que trae en este tiempo final. Por eso él está hoy proclamando este mensaje para toda la humanidad. Y el tiempo ya no es más. Está sellando el ángel fuerte con el sello de Dios vivo. Hoy es su novia amada que muy pronto va a transformar. Por doquier que hijos de Dios estén, Él los encontrará. Ya no es más. Está sellando el hombre fuerte con el sello del Dios vivo. Hoy es su novia amada que muy pronto va a transformar. El ungido de Dios está hablándonos directo al corazón.
Pray much for Israel. They're already talking of a ceasefire. They want to sign a 5-year ceasefire. And for those who are held captive, the hostages, to be released in exchange for some prisoners that Israel has there. All at once. In other words, not in stages, but all at once. And we desire for them to be released soon. I was also hearing from the authorities how bad it is for those people who are there. And it says that they cannot be human beings. Those who carry out those things, that they are animals. But they will have their reward. I desire that they be released soon and that that agreement be made soon. And that may God work in Israel according to what is promised. And may they be able to identify the fulfillment of the prophecies, as the church bride at this time has identified them. That is why the time will come when they will say, "This man is ours." They will not want to let him go, because they will identify what lineage he is from and where he comes from. And there will be proof for that. Soon, you will see how all of that will be fulfilled spiritually and physically as well. He said that line comes directly from King David, from that line of Judah, which therefore reaches all the way up to Adam. Well, let us leave immediately with us our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.